Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Doviak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Doviak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and I've got some great topics this week. We're going to look at the market rally and why that might be influencing the Fed interest rate cuts that are anticipated. We're going to look at changes to the long-term care premium deduction on your taxes, as well as changes to 401k eligibility. In the Plan Your Prosperity segment, I'm going to talk about financial considerations for going back to school. And then finally, in the Ask Peggy segment, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what you have to do to be eligible to participate in your company's 401k plan. So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. This is for the week ending August 16th, 2024. Now, I will tell you that I am taping this Sunday night rather than my typical Monday morning. So if anything squirrely happens tomorrow morning, you're not going to hear about it on this week's show. But last week was a great week in the stock market, and it strongly suggests that maybe we have put some recession fears behind us. The Dow was up 2.94%, the S&P 500 was up 3.93%, and the NASDAQ was up a little more than 5.25%. Gold also got into the action, up 3.06%. Oil, West Texas Intermediate Crude, front month price went down about 0.5%. That current price is $76.61. And the 10-year Treasury yield dropped 6.1%. Its current rate is 3.885%. The dollar dropped about 0.75%, a little less. And Bitcoin dropped about 1.25%. So the really good news here is after a couple of rocky weeks and the possibility of a not-so-stellar August, all of the indices have switched positive for the month. So again, this is the middle of the month. We don't know what will happen in the second half of the month, but we do know that so far, all of that decline, and it wasn't terrible other than that Monday where everything dropped by 1,000 points, but mostly it was just kind of malaise. Remember, August is typically kind of a squirrely month in the markets because it's right before everyone goes back to school. Now, if you live where I do in Oklahoma, school has already started. But if you live on the East Coast, it's likely that school isn't starting until after Labor Day. So August is everybody's vacation month. The reason that matters is the market tends to be more volatile when the trading action is thinner. And what that means in English is little things in the news or the economy will impact the market more than you might expect, and you may see bigger swings. Now, I am not minimizing the Japanese carry trade crisis of a couple of weeks ago, which is what led us to that 1,000-point drop. But I am saying that overall, August is typically kind of just a month in the market because most people aren't there, the trading volume is light, and so things don't react the way we would expect. The good news here is it is again kind of beginning to allay the fears that we're on the verge of a recession. There's a lot of people, a lot of pundits who are still saying, oh, the recession is just around the corner. But truthfully, the economic data doesn't support that. So it's always important, like I said, when the market was being so weird, make sure your risk tolerance is where it needs to be. Make sure that you know what rate of return you have to earn in order to meet those goals that you have. But overall right now, things are not looking quite as odd as they were a month ago as far as potentially going back into a recession. We'll have to watch. We'll have to see what happens. There's lots of things in the news. There is a general sense now that the Fed is probably going to cut 0.25%. They're probably going to cut in September, in the September meeting. And now that things are looking better again, you know, weirdly, good news everywhere isn't necessarily good news on a rate cut. The chances of a second rate cut now this year are going down a little bit because the economy is swimming along quite well. Although I know that's frustrating to people, and I know if you're trying to buy a house, I know if you're trying to get a loan, interest rates still being high is really, really tough. But one thing that the Fed is doing by being very judicious in how much they cut and not getting ahead of their skis is if something were to truly go wrong, we've got quite a bit to work with right now. And it would be much less catastrophic if there was some event we weren't anticipating today, because the Fed would be able to cut. They'd be able to cut pretty dramatically, still have positive interest rates, and that would help a bad situation be slightly better. But in the meantime, we'll keep watching. If you're still on summer vacation, I'm very jealous. Everything here is back and going, but that also means that OU football is just around the corner, and we'll talk more about going back to school in a later segment.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And before I talk about a couple of bills and rules that are being discussed, I'd like to begin with the biggest legislative issue that might be around the corner, but I don't really think it is. And that is the federal government shutting down later this fall because all of the funding bills don't go through. Now, do I think they're going to make a grand agreement and there's going to be something fabulous that happens? No, I absolutely don't. I think that what they will do instead is pass a continuing resolution or a temporary funding so that, in fact, the government stays open. And the reason I think that is, you know, sometimes different parties pull political stunts for one reason or the other. Right now, the Republicans in the House are saying that they're going to let the government shut down. I don't believe it. It's right before an election. Everybody in the House is up for re-election. And typically, when the government shuts down, the American public tends to be pretty unforgiving of whichever party is behind it. And I just don't think 2 months before a general election where everybody's seat is going to be up for grabs is when they're going to decide to be cute and shut down the government over the election. I don't think it's going to be anything great. I think it's going to be a continuing resolution. They're going to do whatever they have to do to kick the can down the road, probably kick the can all the way into 2025 is my guess. We'll just have to wait and see how that goes. But often I am quite worried about the government shutting down. But one thing that I am beginning to learn is that many times things are threatened that don't actually happen. And this just doesn't make sense as a move right now. I just think people are irritated. It's August, and I think that by the time we get around to funding the government, we'll be fine. If we aren't fine, that won't do a lot of good things for the stock market. That might actually cause the Fed to lower rates more than 0.25%. That might actually lead to a 0.5 percentage point drop just to try to keep the market from responding. Because remember, the market hates it when the government shuts down because the markets don't like uncertainty. Okay. Anytime things are weird, the markets aren't happy. So I don't think it's going to happen. I think everything's going to be fine. No doubt, as always, I'll watch and I'll listen. And as soon as I hear something, I'll let you know. So there's a couple of bills that are being proposed, and really I'm talking about them because I think they're very interesting. I don't talk as much about pending legislation as I used to because most of the time these things don't see the light of day. But the first one, which is being sponsored by Representative Eric Burleson, a Republican from Missouri, is wanting to provide long-term care insurance premium deductions for everyone when they're filing their taxes. Now, usually, in order to deduct your long-term care premium, you have to have a medical deduction because that premium falls inside of it, which means that you have to itemize and sometimes meet other rules. They've played with this long-term care deduction lots of different ways. But right now, if you don't itemize, and most people can't itemize because the standard deduction is so high, then you can't take the deduction for your long-term care premium. Now, just as an aside, if you're a business owner, you need to talk to your CPA and your insurance agent and find out, because you do have a way of taking the deduction as a business owner. But most people who just have a job and they go to their job and they don't own their business, they've had trouble getting this funded. On top of that, it's an unlimited deduction. So if your premiums have become sky high, as many long-term care premiums have, then you could actually deduct the entire thing. So we'll see where this goes. Honestly, it probably doesn't. I'd love to see it happen, though, because it would be really, really good for the consumer. The second bill that is being proposed will change the age of 401k plan participation. Right now, you have to be 21 years old to be eligible to participate in your company's 401k. This bill, which is being sponsored by Representative Brittany Peterson, a Democrat from Colorado, and Republican Tim Walberg, a Republican from Michigan. So you have a Democrat and a Republican, which is cool. It's bipartisan. Those always work the best. Would lower the age of participation to 18. This means that, you know, once you're grown by any definition of the word, you are eligible to participate in your company retirement plan if you meet all the other rules. And we'll talk about those in the last section of the show. This is another thing that I don't know if I think it's going to get passed or not. It's all in very early stages right now. But it would be really great because if someone has gotten a job where there is a company retirement plan, they're going to be eligible to participate in it when they're 18, rather than having to wait 3 years. And you've all seen those PowerPoint slides where it talks about the difference in your account size if you can get those earlier contributions. And if you could actually convince an 18-year-old to fund their 401k plan, it would make an enormous difference in how prepared they are for retirement. I hope it passes too. Right now, you know, everybody's in campaigning mode, and we've got both parties' conventions going on. And so really, there isn't a whole lot going on outside of that that I've been able to find that has anything at all to do with money. But I do think these two bills are interesting. I hope they both pass. I think they're both good. I love the long-term care insurance premium deduction. And I love the 401k changing to 18-year-olds. But as with everything else, I will keep my eyes on things. If they move forward, I'll let you know.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And in Norman, Oklahoma, heading back to school is the beginning of OU football. You know, this is a big year for us. We've entered the SEC, and we'll just have to wait and see what that means. But certainly football has been the talk of everyone for the past several months. If you're not a star quarterback, however, going to college can be insanely expensive. And so today I'd like to take a little time and talk about some strategies for helping control the cost and pay for college. So the first thing you want to do really needs to happen in high school, and that's start looking for scholarships and grants that can lower your cost. There are all kinds of scholarships out there. So if you have a talent, if that talent is something you want to use as a college major in particular, you might be able to get a scholarship related to that. So that could be sports or dance or music or writing or anything like that. Additionally, if you're part of an ethnic group, many times there's college money available for members who meet the requirements. So absolutely check. The very worst thing that happens is your group doesn't offer anything, but I've seen people discover they were eligible for scholarships or grants that they had no idea they'd be able to do it. So you want to start looking early so you have enough time so you can apply, and that will make you more likely to get the scholarship. Additionally, in high school, good grades may be worth much more money than a fast food job. Now, I absolutely believe in teaching responsibility. I do. I think that being responsible and learning how to take responsibility and all of those things is huge. And we all need to help our younger generation come into that. However, being responsible can mean studying for tests rather than going out with friends. Being sure that you're ready for all of those things that you have to do to apply to get into college and that you don't drop the ball. So, you know, a job is great, but it might actually save some money if rather than getting a job, you spent a little bit more time studying. Related to that is prepping for the entrance exams. Now, when I was getting ready to go to college, the entrance exams were a really big deal, but they've become an outright blood sport these days. And students begin taking prep work and practice exams years before the actual exam is administered. So you may have someone who's a freshman in high school, and those junior level exams seem like a very long way away, but they're actually not. Now, I don't think that prepping for an exam should take the place of everything fun in somebody's life, okay? I'm not trying to be a Grinch here, but I am saying that starting early with the test prep and then just finding out what are they recommending for success, because whether they should or whether they shouldn't, the scores on those exams are really important. And if you don't do well, you're going to have trouble not only getting into the school, but getting any form of financial aid as well. So take the time, prep for those tests, and it will help a lot. Now, of course, trying to get scholarships and grants and, you know, trying to spend the time to study and do well on the tests is really only half of it, because a lot of people go to college without any form of scholarship or grant. So this is where the prep needs to start at a much younger age through saving money. Now, you can save money a lot of different ways. What I want to talk about today is the 529 plan, which is a very common savings tool that people use to save for post-secondary training. So you don't have to go to college to use 529 money. You can go to a Votech. If you do go to college, and you should get a scholarship for your tuition, the 529 money can be used for room and board. Lots of uses for 529 money exist. 529 accounts can be passed between siblings and close family members. So if the first child gets a full ride to college and the second child needs the money, the account can be transferred. One of the coolest things, though, is now if 529 money hasn't been used, that money up to certain phase out levels, but it's quite a bit of money. And I should have looked up the exact dollar amount before I started taping, but I didn't. But it's tens of thousands of dollars that you can have that 529 money rolled into an account, a Roth IRA, in the name of the beneficiary. So let's be a little bit more specific. Let's say mom and dad open a 529 plan to benefit their son. And it ends up that at the end of college, the son still has some 529 money left over and isn't going to use it, and nobody else needs it. Well, a Roth IRA can be opened in the name of that son, and that 529 money can be transferred into the Roth. Now, it has to be transferred at the annual contribution rate. So you put in the maximum amount you can each year until you reach the threshold, and that's all the money you can transfer over. Generally, people don't have this problem, but it's one of the things that people have always been concerned about when they talk to me about putting money into a 529 plan for their children. It's, what if they don't use it? Well, if you don't use it, then the money can go into a Roth, and then that's going to be available for that child's retirement. And remember how we talked earlier about those PowerPoint slides that show what would happen if you actually started with some retirement money? Well, this would make all of that actually come about for your child or your grandchild or whoever you're funding the 529 plan for. So it's a really neat rule. It's absolutely new, and it's going to make a big difference in the preparedness that young people are coming out of college, because if they have leftover 529 money, they probably don't have student debt. That wouldn't make any sense, right? That's just logic, not some big fancy thing I learned in financial planner school. If you've got leftover money, you've probably paid for your college, and now you've started funding retirement. So 529 plans are great. You want to make sure that you use the plan from your state that will give you a state income tax deduction. And every state that I've seen has their own website, so you don't need to go to a financial professional to set this up. There's very limited investment choices. You want to choose something that matches risk tolerance and time horizon like anything else. And then you can fund it, and you can automatically draw money from one account into the other account. You don't need to pay anybody to help you do it. You don't need to pay commission. You don't need to pay fees. So it's a really great strategy. And even if you don't have a lot of money saved up, anything that you can do will help. Now, you should help pay for your kids' college, but not at the expense of your retirement. If you don't think you should fund their college, that's fine. That's a conversation I'm not having tonight. But I do know that people will sometimes fund college when their own retirement isn't funded. It's really critically important to take care of yourself first, because although student loan debt is tough, it's not as bad as having a parent who isn't financially secure, because that is devastating to your child, potentially for decades. So take care of yourself first, fund college if you want to, and then help your kids get in the best position that they can be so that they can have a successful and affordable education.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And today I wanted to answer a question that no one actually asked, but to continue our conversation about 401k eligibility. So generally, a 401k plan has to be available for someone who is age 21 and has 1 year of service. So that service is typically assumed to be full-time, but it isn't necessarily 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. So it's very important when you get the job that you find out how they're defining that year of service. Now, sometimes 401k plans will make you wait a second year. So they require 2 years of service. But if they do that, all of the money has to be immediately vested. So when you have a 401k plan, two different people are putting money in your account. You're putting money in through monthly contributions. Then your employer is either matching up to a certain level or putting in a amount of money that has nothing to do with how much money you've put in your account. Every dollar you put in your own 401k plan is always vested to you, but you sometimes have to wait on employer money. So this rule says if they make you wait 2 years to let you participate in the plan, you're going to be immediately vested and there won't be a vesting schedule that applies to you. If it does, that's when you probably need to go into HR and maybe make sure that you understand everything, because that's not how it ought to be working. So those are the rules now. If that earlier legislation passes, age 21 would drop to age 18. So I have all kinds of great announcements for you guys today. The biggest one is I no longer am a cozy mystery author. I am the author of a cozy mystery series. I got my second contract for my second cozy mystery yesterday. It'll come out sometime next year. I have no idea when. We've got an editing process. All kinds of things have to happen before that book will come out. But it's been accepted by the publisher and it is coming out. So it's the second book in the series. Remember my first book in the series, which is called You Can't Cheat Death, and it's available pretty much anywhere you'd want to buy a book. It's on Amazon and Kindle, Barnes & Noble, your indie bookstore can order it. That releases September 16th. So if you're interested in that, that's going to be available for pre-order now, or you can wait and order it later. But that's coming out just in about a month, because today's the 18th and it comes out on the 16th. So I've only got like 28 days, 29 days, but who's counting? Additionally, I have both of my personal finance books are available multiple places. Remember my second personal finance book, which was written for women. It's 52 Weeks to Well-Being, What a Woman Needs to Know to Become Queen of Her Finances, is on Kindle Unlimited if you have that. That's the book that won the big nonfiction award this year in Oklahoma at the conference that I went to. And if you've got Kindle Unlimited, you can read it for free and you don't have to buy it.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.